Hello, Titans. This is Mrs. Nugent, and I am reading Chapter 9, Humphrey Goes Haywire. Ah, the peace and quiet of the swamp on a lazy afternoon. My belly is full, my skin is moist, and life is good. The bees are buzzing, the birds are singing, and a turtle floats by saying, "Squeak, squeak, squeak." Wait a second. Hold everything. Turtles don't squeak, do they? I snap out of my daydream and realize that the squeaking is coming from a furry little creature. Hopefully Humphrey will stop soon, but even if he doesn't, I'll give him a pass. He's a much better neighbor than a bullfrog. Then the bell rings and the class rushes out for the day. As soon as the classroom is clear, Aldo shows up, hours earlier than usual. This time, he didn't come to clean room 26. He is here to talk to Mrs. Brisbane. It turns out that paper he left behind couldn't help him get into a school where he'll learn to be a teacher. The little guy quiets down long enough for me to hear Aldo tell her that he's not sure he can be as good a teacher as she is. I wish I could tell him no one could be as good a teacher as she is. She says something about coming in to teach our class, and Aldo says yes. Thank goodness he listens to Mrs. Brisbane. Like I said, everybody should. I can't hear the end of their conversation because Humphrey lets out a stream of enthusiastic squeaks. Luckily, he's quiet once the humans leave the room. That gives me time to think about how hamsters are so much more complicated than frogs. To a frog, life is simple. Try to find food and try not to get eaten. Take time to smell the water lilies, sit on a rock and think, float, doze, be. I don't think Humphrey will ever just be. The next morning, Mrs. Brisbane calls on the big tads to give their reports on a very interesting topic: the differences and similarities between hamsters and frogs. My guess? There are zero similarities and a million differences. I'm not wrong, either. Garth's report explains that Humphrey is a mammal. Humans are, too. Mammals give birth to their babies. Then Mandy explains that amphibians, like me, are hatched from eggs. I don't appreciate the alarmed squeak from Humphrey. An egg can be a very cozy place. Art goes into more detail about warm-blooded animals like hamsters, and Saya reports about cold-blooded animals like me. Humphrey has another squeaky outburst when she says the word hibernation. Maybe Humphrey doesn't like to hibernate, but I think it's as nice and cozy as being in an egg. Then AJ explains that hamsters have cheek pouches where they store uneaten food. I must admit, my reaction is, ooh, which comes out as a very loud boing. Finally, Miranda says that hamsters come from warm, dry areas. In fact, getting wet is bad for them. So what's good for hamsters is bad for frogs. And what's good for frogs is bad for hamsters. No wonder we don't understand each other. And yet, we're both classroom pets. He's just better at the job than I am. Maybe that's because he has a lot more experience. Later, as I sit on my rock, trying just to be, I notice something very odd. Seth hasn't gone to lunch with the rest of the class. Instead, he's talking to Tabitha about sports. Go Tabitha, I tell her. And when she hears my boing, she smiles. Seth smiles back. Maybe Tabitha is starting to enjoy her new classroom at least a little bit. Seth goes on to lunch, but Tabitha stays to talk to Mrs. Brisbane. It's quiet in room 26 without the other big tads, and I can hear everything they say. Mrs. Brisbane encourages Tabitha to be friendlier. I want to, but it's hard, Tabitha tells her. Mrs. Brisbane smiles. I know, but some of the students have tried to reach out to you. Can't you try too? Yes. Try, I say, and Tabitha smiles and nods. Then Mrs. Brisbane sings a little song. Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other's gold. I love to sing, but I didn't know that Mrs. Brisbane likes to sing too. Her voice is as cheery as a swamp sparrow greeting the dawn. I'll repeat her song so I'll remember it. Boing, 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 boing. Mrs. Brisbane looks over at me and says, I think Og likes the song too. Maybe she's starting to understand me. Then she tells Tabitha that she can take Humphrey home for the weekend, as if his squeaking and screeching is a treat. Tabitha looks as happy as a toad in a mud puddle. I'm happy that she is happy. In fact, I sigh a great sigh of relief. Maybe now I can stop and smell the lily pads, or at least try to remember what lily pads smell like. I'm hoping the rest of the week will be easy peasy, but there are a lot of bad moods when the big tads don't do well on an important math test. Mrs. Brisbane isn't pleased, and neither are her students. But our teacher is not ready to give up. She gives each of the big tads a study guide and says, we will try again. We will be having a math test on Tuesday, so please spend some time reviewing what we've learned. Mandy's hand goes up. Do we have to have another test? She moans. Because, Mandy, Mrs. Brisbane gives her a look. Even I know what that look means. Mandy quickly glances over at my tank. I grin at her until my mouth aches and hop up and down. She smiles. Never mind, she tells Mrs. Brisbane. I'm happy to be of service to our teacher. Put the study guides in your backpacks so you won't forget them, she tells the big tads as the bell rings. Recess is usually calm and quiet if my furry neighbor doesn't squeak too much, but this day is anything but calm. Just when I think nothing Humphrey can do will surprise me, I'm amazed. When the room is empty, Humphrey flings open his cage door, grabs hold of the table leg, and slides down to the floor. Settle down, Humphrey, I try to tell him. Be careful. But Humphrey has some kind of plan, I guess, because he skitters across the floor as fast as a water strider bug being chased by a beaky bird. I can hardly believe my great big eyes as Humphrey races straight to Seth's backpack, which is on the floor next to his table. What in the swamp is he doing? I think his small brain must have gone haywire. I watch as he uses his tiny sharp teeth to pull out the study guide Mrs. Brisbane just handed out. Why doesn't he want Seth to study? Next, he drags the study guide all the way over to Tabitha's chair. He stops to look up at her backpack. If he's thinking of climbing up there, he'll have to learn how to fly. Be careful, little guy, I shout. The next thing I know, Humphrey takes his two front paws and grabs onto a cord hanging down from the zipper on Tabitha's backpack and tries to pull himself up. Tabitha already has a study guide, I tell him. I glance at the clock and am shocked to see that minute arrow moving extremely fast. Hurry back, I try to warn him, although I have no idea how he's going to slide up the table leg. It's a long way from the floor to the table, and I don't think I could do it even with my powerful leaps. But it's too late. The bell signaling the end of recess blares. Alarmed, Humphrey drops the study guide and races back to the table. Hurry, I tell him. And then the most incredible thing happens. Humphrey jumps and grabs the long cord hanging from the blinds and swings back and forth, higher and higher each time. I hate to admit it, but Humphrey is one strong and fast hamster. But can he catch a fly with his tongue? I don't think so. My heart is pounding as the cord swings up to the top of the table. Careful, I warn him. And even though I can't believe my own eyes, when the cord is as high as the table, Humphrey lets go, flies onto the tabletop, and slides past my tank and straight to his cage. He pulls the cage door closed, just as Mrs. Brisbane enters the room. I see him panting as he crawls under his bedding. He looks so small and so tired. Way to go, I tell him. I really hope he understands me. Mrs. Brisbane looks around the room. Why is the cord swinging like that? She asks aloud. Squeak! I don't understand exactly what Humphrey's saying, but he sounds worried. Of course he is. If Miss Brisbane finds out why the cord is swinging, they'll probably lock him up and throw away the key. I'm not sure what he was trying to do with the study guide, but I know he had a reason. Mrs. Brisbane heads toward the cord, and I decide to help the little fellow out. Look at me. Yoo-hoo! Over here, I shout in my best boings. Then I hop into my water dish and splash as hard as I can. All that weekend exercise has paid off. Mrs. Brisbane turns toward me and tells me to calm down. Luckily, right then, the rest of the students stream into the classroom, making enough commotion to distract Mrs. Brisbane from our table. And most important, from the cord, which has now stopped swinging. Once the big tads are settled in their chairs, I hear a tiny squeak. It's Humphrey. Is he saying thank you, or am I just imagining things? You're welcome, I answer. Maybe this time, he even understands me. The poor little guy looks frazzled. I'm a little frazzled myself, so I pop into my water and try to be. It's not easy to be when you have a hamster for a neighbor. I can't help noticing that just before the bell rings to signal the end of the day, Mrs. Brisbane spots the study guide on the floor next to Tabitha's chair. Put that in your backpack, please, she tells Tabitha. You'll need it for your homework this weekend. Tabitha quickly puts the study guide in her backpack. No, it's not hers, I say. It's Seth's. Humphrey squeaks at me. I don't understand him, but I can tell that he knows something I don't know. I think Humphrey has some kind of plan. I don't know if it will work, but he's trying. Tabitha should try like Humphrey. Maybe I should, too. I am looking forward to spending a nice, quiet weekend in room 26 when Tabitha's mom comes to take Humphrey home for the weekend. Carol, say hello to Og, Tabitha says, pulling her toward my tank. He's so funny and cool. Can we take him home, too? Humphrey travels better, Mrs. Brisbane says. Og's tank is heavier, and he needs to have the temperature controlled. Taking care of him is a little more challenging than taking care of Humphrey. Personally, I like a challenge, but I think Miss Brisbane is trying to keep me safe, and I appreciate that. It's been a thrilling day, even more exciting than a water moccasin wrestling match back in the swamp. But I'm surprised to see that Humphrey looks a little sad as he's carried out of room 26. Is his squeak a goodbye to me? Or is it a thank you?